for setting me free. God, I thank you for bringing me out of the chains of darkness. Thank you, Lord, for making a way for me. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. It's wonderful to be here tonight. I want to read a word from the Bible in the book of Numbers. The book of Numbers, the 13th chapter. I'm going to read a few verses. We'll pick a few verses out of this chapter to save some time. But Numbers, the 13th chapter. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Send thou men, that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children. I want us to bear in mind, Canaan is a promised land. Canaan is an inheritance that is to be possessed because God promised it. And God said, you can have it to these people. He said, it's yours. And so when it came time to search it out, God's man gave the instruction for God to the people of promise. And Moses said, send thou, God spoke to Moses, send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. And of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them. And Moses, by commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness. Verse 17, Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said unto them, Get you up. Get you up this way southward. Go up into the mountain. See the land, what it is, and the people that dwelleth therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many, what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, what cities they dwell in, whether there be tents, strongholds, what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood there or not. And be you of good courage. Everybody say, good courage. And bring of the fruit of the land. Amen. And I'm sure you know the story, how they went and they returned. You may be seated. I don't want to keep you standing a long time. Verse 25, and they returned from searching the land after 40 days. And they went and came to Moses and Aaron, to all the congregation of the children of Israel, to the wilderness. Verse 27, and they told him and said, We came into the land whither thou sendest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey. In other words, it's just like God said it would be as far as these things that we need. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. Moreover, we saw the children of Anak there, and the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites. And they started telling Moses all these monsters are there. And then these men started saying, We're not able. We're not able. We can't do it. We're not able to do what's required of us. We can't take this land. We can't take this people. They're stronger than we are. Now, they're not the only people that have ever felt like that who had the promises of God with them.
You're right.
And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched to the children of Israel, saying, The land that we have gone to search, it eats up the inhabitants of it. Said, if you go over there, you're going to get eaten by a giant. All the people that we saw in there are men of great stature there. We saw giants. Today, there are still people who have promises of God who have an inheritance to possess. That God has said, I give you this land. I give you The things that you see, it's yours. All you have to do is possess it. Take a look at it. See what you can see. Observe everything that needs to be observed. And claim it. But so many of us return and we say, "But Lord, there are some things in this land that are just too big for me. There are some problems over there that I just can't overcome. There are some situations that are too great and I'm not able." We're not able to take it. But I'd just like to echo what this man of God said to the people. Be of good courage. Be of good courage. I'm glad there were some people who did return who were of good courage. There were some people who were able to believe God. There weren't many of them. One of them's name was Caleb. Verse 30, Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it." Right after all these people said, "All these bad things are there. We can't do it." In so many words, there are giants, there are problems, there are difficulties. Caleb said, "Let's go up at once and possess it. We are well able to overcome it."
Hallelujah.
We're well able to overcome it. And I'm reminded of a scripture in the book of Philippians that says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me."
Amen.
Now, I'm not going to spend a long time talking about the children of Israel and the things they went through. Only I wanted to start with this scripture tonight to remind us that there have always been people who have been faced with difficult situations with the promises of God on their side and God's Word going before them. And it doesn't matter what kind of monsters we are up against or what kind of difficulties we are faced with. We have examples in the Word of God how people in these situations, if they will dare to trust God, believe God, and not be overwhelmed by the things that we see.
Amen.
Not be taken back in fear by the things that God has told us we can have just because it looks so great.
Amen.
It looks so difficult. But so many times we hear people saying, "I just don't see how we can do this.
Oh, bless God.
I don't see how we can do this." I've seen more people exercise confidence over small things such as a headache. I've seen people come to church and have a headache, get prayed for, and say, "God healed me of my headache." I've seen more of this than I have people returning to church after having been prayed for cancer or arthritis. I haven't seen a whole lot of those people return. I've seen a few.
Amen.
But so many times when there's a giant in the land, when there is a disease that so many around you say, "It's too difficult, it's incurable, it's too big. Everybody says you can't overcome." And we hear these evil reports. It's so easy to forget that Christ has given us promises of healing.
Hallelujah.
It's so easy for us to let the Word of God and the promises of God that are ours for the taking and ours for the asking. He said, "Ask what you will and it shall be given unto you." And if we could ask in faith, believing according to His will, all things are possible to him that believeth.
Hallelujah.
Not to him that used to believe.
Amen.
Not to him that believed at one time and then because of the situation at hand decided, "I don't believe it anymore." But a continuation of believing. To he that believeth, all things are possible to him that believeth.
Right.
Just because we've been going a long time and we haven't seen it come to pass like we thought it would, that's no time to stop believing. It's time to keep on believing, keep on believing. And let us hear somebody say, "We're well able to overcome this."
Amen.
We don't need to hear the evil reports of it's too hard, it's too difficult, it's beyond us, In light of the fact that Jesus has given us His Word, God has promised us that we will possess it. In fact, He has promised us that everything that He owns is ours.
Amen.
And His Word teaches us that we shall reign and rule with Him on the earth. Somebody told me that someday, way off in the future, after you die, you get to come back and rule. Well, I don't know too much about all of that, but I believe with all my heart when I receive the Holy Ghost and I receive the power of Christ in me, the hope of glory, I became a joint heir with Jesus Christ, and I can rule and reign on the earth today as a king and priest. And if I come up against a difficult situation, it's not bigger than the Holy Ghost that I possess in me, and I'm well able to take the country.
That's all right.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Somebody said, but you can't. But Paul said, I can.
I can do all things.
I can do all things.
Amen.
Through Christ who strengthens me.
Amen.
If we could go back 1 year, I could take you to New York City to a place where there was a young man by the name of Tony with a beer in one hand and a cigarette in the other and some drugs in his pockets and a switchblade knife in his hip pocket. Running with friends and a gang, hurting people, cutting people, robbing people, supplying young people with drugs, ruining people's lives, lying, cheating, stealing. Tony Cherry. But if you could meet him tonight, you would see that same man who is running those streets of New York City. Probably right now he's standing in a congregation in Norwich, Connecticut with his hands up. As he is in every service, saying, I thank God that I've been bought through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. I've been set free from my sins.
Hallelujah.
He was a rebellious boy. His parents couldn't do anything with him. And his daddy had received a call into the ministry when Tony was a young man, and he had preached the gospel in New York City. But Tony had become such a mean rascal and had caused such havoc in that family that the daddy got discouraged. The mama got discouraged.
Yeah.
And they said, we just can't do anything with Tony. We just can't make it. And for the last 15 years or so, mom and dad, who stopped believing, started wandering in a wilderness, going in circles, out there feeling helpless and hopeless, because to them, Tony, their son, was like a giant that couldn't be defeated.
Right.
This that they saw in their son had become like a wall that could never be broken. A mountain that was too high to climb. But just a little less than a year ago, I was driving my car through the streets of Norwich, and that mean rascal jumped in my car. Now, I don't like to have big, black, ornery, smelly, strong men to jump in my car, especially when I don't know them.
Amen.
I pulled up to an intersection in downtown Norwich a little less than a year ago, and that drug-dealing sinner got in my car. He opened the door, and he looked at me, and he said, could I get in your car? And I looked at him and I said, I guess.
Amen.
And I said, what do you want in my car? He said, I want in your car because I want to know what you believe. You're talking to my friends about God. I said, then get in.
Hallelujah.
I looked at him with all the promises of God in my life and I had thoughts. You're a giant that's going to be hard to for me to conquer. You're a case that's going to be difficult for me to overcome.
Right.
But you know, the promises of God stand sure, and I didn't have to do a lot. All I had to do was just sit there, sort of like Moses must have felt when he stood there on the banks of that mighty sea and he said, stand still and see the salvation of God.
Oh, hallelujah.
When God makes a promise, God's the one that's able to see us through it. We don't have to depend upon our own strength, our own ability, our own understanding. We just need to depend on God's Word, and God said it, and go for it.
Amen.
We're well able to take the country.
Amen.
Everybody say, we're well able to take the country.
Hallelujah.
A young man got in my car, and he said, what do you believe? I said, I believe the truth. He said, but what truth do you believe? I said, the only truth. He said, but I want to know more than that, because you're teaching people of my country, Haiti. You've been teaching Exodus, my friend, something. And he's going to church, and he came to my house and told me that he has changed, and he doesn't drink anymore. And he doesn't do a lot of these other things that he and I used to do together. And I want to know what it is you believe that you have told him that caused him to do that. So I started sharing with this young man the things in the Word of God concerning mercy, love, long-suffering, kindness, patience, gentleness, the peace of God that passes understanding, how that God is able to take a sinner, no matter how sinful he is, and wash that person through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And cause him to be clean and new and pure. And cause him to stand. And cause him to be honorable and give him a new beginning. And I talked to him about the power of the name of Jesus that I possess. And the promises of God that we have. And how that you, Tony, you can be set free.
Thank God.
You can be cleansed and you can be everything that you ever desired to be.
Amen.
He said, take me to church. We went to church. And like I said, tonight if you could meet him. He doesn't carry a knife in his pocket anymore. He doesn't sell drugs anymore. But he's constantly going from house to house trying to find somebody else.
Hallelujah.
To tell somebody else, we're well able to take the country.
Glory to God.
He doesn't stop at anything. A few weeks ago, we announced we're going to have a picnic at the park. Tony went down to the asylum. And somehow he got in there and invited all those people to go to our picnic. They didn't show up. But he didn't stop at anything. He came to church and he said, they may not be able to make it, but I invited them, because if there's any hope for those people, it's through the power of Jesus' name. And it's through the blood of Jesus' name. And he said, they're behind those walls and they're desperate, just like I was desperate on the streets of New York. And he said, I went there to invite them and to let them know somebody cares, because somebody came to me and told me that somebody cares. I followed him around one day, and he went to the pimps and the prostitutes. And every once in a while, somebody would stop him, and it would be a plainclothes officer. And they would question him and say, Tony, what are you taking now? What are you high on now? What are you selling now? And he would tell them, I'm not like I used to be. I'm not the same anymore. Today, Tony drives a brand new car. A year ago, his name was worthless. A few weeks ago, he woke up early in the morning. His mother needed a car. He needed a car, and they didn't have transportation. And he just stood up and he said, we're able to get a car. His mama said, Tony, you don't have any credit. He said, my God's able to get us a car. She said, you can't. This lady that had taught him as a young man had taught him as a Christian lady that she had given up. Now her son was saying, we can do it, Mama. I've got faith and confidence that God's able to supply us with a vehicle. And he walked down to a car dealership and walked in with no credit, no money in the bank, no collateral, and convinced those people that he would pay for that car. And tonight he's driving a brand new car, and it has been financed in his name.
Hallelujah.
I don't know who sold it to him. And I don't know what all it went through down at the bank, but I know one thing. That young man met up with a giant that didn't cause him to back down.
Hallelujah.
He met up with a situation that he was able to overcome.
Thank God.
He met up with a problem that he said, I can do it through Jesus Christ. After all, when you've been delivered from the impossible, there's nothing impossible to you if you will continue to believe in that which has delivered you.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Let's thank the Lord again tonight. Praise His name. Hallelujah. Where did old Tony get this liberty to feel like he could get in the car with this white man driving through that rough section of town? Well, a few weeks ago, he and about 14 of his friends were kneeling in an altar, praying. Several of them have received the Holy Ghost. And it happened as a result of one young man who was sitting on a bench in the front of the courthouse a little less than a year ago, drunk. And a group of young people standing in front of that courthouse with a songbook in their hands, talking to Jesus, saying, God, lead us to one soul. That one soul, when we opened our eyes, was standing before us. And he said, pray for me. And we went to his house and we prayed for him. As a result of that prayer, this impossible situation turned into a great possession. We were able to baptize that young man. And then we watched him as he got so excited about what God had done. He went from house to house telling people, I was a drunk. I was hopeless. I was helpless. And Exodus said, I got down on my knees one morning. And I called out to God and said, God, I'm tired of living like I live. I want somebody to come and help me to know what to do. And he said, when I saw you people walking down the sidewalk with a tambourine in your hand and a guitar and you gathered around me with those songbooks and started praying, he said, just before you got there, I told my drinking buddy, those people are coming after me. He tells us everywhere he goes. And when he told it to Tony, Tony got convicted in his heart. And that's why on that Sunday morning, he opened my car door and said, may I get in? Praise God. Praise God. We're well able to take the country. Well, that can happen up there, but it can't happen in my family. It can't happen for me. We're so plagued with the lies of spirits of darkness that sometimes we cannot even hear the promises of God.
Hallelujah.
Evil reports come to us from the right and the left, from enemies and from friends. From people that we have walked with. Now you look at those children of Israel. They had gone through some miracles in their lives. They had walked with people who had witnessed with them the power of the mighty God who's able to do everything.
Amen.
According to His Word. According to His promise. But we see them every time it seems that they're faced with a situation that is so large and so beyond. And so, oh, we can't do it. We can't do it. And as a result of it, there are some people who are unable to possess what they could have possessed if they could have only believed.
Amen.
And some are sent wandering in a wilderness and some die on the wayside. But thank God there's a few people who dare to claim it. There are a few of us, I believe, who are able to go on and possess it. I heard somebody say the other day, I would to God that we were back at 6th and Dakota. Because we'll never fill up that building.
Faith.
It was actually a year ago or so. And that person's not here. I ain't telling. I would to God that we'd stayed in Egypt.
Yeah. Amen.
And died there. I would to God. You know, that doubt and that fear cannot mix with faith. We cannot believe God for the impossible things that He's able to do according to His Word as long as we're saying, I don't believe it can happen. I don't see how we can.
Amen.
But I've also heard over and over, every time I visited this place, several of you, not just one, not just two, but several of you saying, one of these days this building's going to be packed out with people.
Amen. That's right.
One of these days, this church is going to be filled with folks.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
We're well able. We're well able to possess the land.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Amen.
Praise God. Would you praise the Lord with me tonight?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If we could only realize what we already possess. We've already come so far. We've gone through battle after battle, through turmoil and strife. We've been delivered from traps of Satan and hidden snares. And we've come out of the valleys to stand on the mountaintops over and over again. We've been through the valleys of despair and we sought God together. We have sanctified ourselves before the mighty river that we had to cross. And we have seen God part the waters. We've seen the opening up of the seas. And we've seen the walls come tumbling down. And we're well able to possess the land. Hallelujah. But you let one little problem come along, let somebody start talking about it, and somebody else hears it, somebody else says, yeah, you're right. And next thing you know, there's monsters over there. It's too big for us over there. Oh, I don't know how we're going to be able to make it. Ooh, look at all that. Look at the problem. Look at the problem. Somebody needs to stand up in the middle of all this and say, we got the promise of God on our side.
Yeah.
God said He gave it to me. God said it's mine.
Hallelujah.
No problem to possess what's already yours.
That's right.
And to take what God is able to give us since it's a free gift. I wish I had all the money to be able to afford all the things that I have used, that I have claimed for the use of the work of God.
Hallelujah.
If I had all the money to buy all the airplanes where I have used to do the work of God.
Amen.
Just one jet alone cost several million dollars. I used one the other day for an office.
Uh-huh.
I used a bank that was worth several million dollars for a counseling center.
Praise God.
It was mine. Because I needed it. I walk into a restaurant. I didn't have all the responsibilities of seeing that the people were paid. I didn't have all the responsibilities of measuring up to the standards of the Food and Drug Administration. But I walked in there and I saw a situation and a need and a challenge. And I possessed that restaurant for a church building.
Amen.
And I sat down at a table and I preached the gospel to a family. I've seen the hand of God move. I've seen the hand of God halt the plans of business people.
Amen.
And people who were in a hurry just for the sake of one soul that needed to hear from God.
Hallelujah.
A few weeks ago, I was on my way to California. And I started to get on a plane in Hartford, Connecticut. And as it came time to board the plane, we got news, this flight has been delayed, and you'll have to wait 3 more hours. Well, after 3 hours, we all had gone through a line, stood in line a long time. We had to have new tickets, new seat assignments. And we went frustrated onto the airplane. And I went to the seat that I had been assigned and I sat down, and right behind me here came a man who sat beside me. It was a new seating assignment, and he looked at me and he said, "Who are you?" And I said, "My name's Rendell Rutledge." He told me his name. After a while, as the plane was taxiing off the runway, he said, "What do you do?" I said, "I make friends and influence people." And he studied on that for a while. And I said, "What do you do?" He said, "Well, I used to do a lot of things, but I've sold out all my possessions." And he said, "I'm searching for the real truth And he said, I'm seeking after God with all my heart. And he said, everything that I've ever owned and everything I've ever done and all my ambitions have all been concentrated into this effort. And he said, I'm going to spend all I have if necessary. And he said, this morning I got down on my knees and I prayed. And I said, God, direct somebody to come into my life today to take me into more truth. And he said to me, he said, something tells me that you're the man that God has sent.
Praise God, hallelujah.
And I said to him, that's God telling you that.
Amen.
So on the way to Chicago, I had an audience. I possessed a jet airliner. I came to the realization that the last 3 hours had been well worth the effort, the standing in line, all the frustrated people. I saw people getting mad because God, and they didn't know it. If they'd known I was the culprit,
Yeah. They'd
have been after me. But God had the need for one soul. You say, would God do that for one soul? You better believe it.
Amen.
It was more important for that soul to hear the gospel than for all those other 300 to make it to Chicago on time. It was more important for him, the impossible situation. His wife had left him and said, I don't want anything to do with a man that's so crazy that he'll sell everything. His friends had abandoned him. But there was a group of religious leaders in Chicago that said, we want you to come and speak to us, to this man. And he told me the story. He said, I'm on my way to speak to them because, he said, I've quit my drinking, I've quit my smoking, I've quit my drugs. And he said, I've stopped a lot of things. And he said, I've accepted Christ as my Savior. And he said, they want me to come and testify to this religious convention.
Praise God.
He already had more to offer after that flight than that whole religious convention, because the place where he was going was a group of religious leaders who were teaching people. Once you acknowledge Christ as your Savior, it doesn't matter what you do after that.
Oh God.
As far as they were concerned, he was already saved. But as far as he was concerned, he wanted all the truth he could get.
Hallelujah.
A few days ago, I received a telephone call, and it was that man. And he said, Reverend Rutledge, I want you to know that the words you spoke to me concerning the Holy Ghost, baptism in Jesus' name, he said, I'd never heard anything like that in my life. He said, in my quest for truth, I was starting in the beginning of the Bible and I was somewhere in the middle of it, and you took me all the way up to the New Testament and expounded to me the things about God that I never dreamed possible. And he said, I'm coming to your church, I'm going to be in the altar, and I want you to baptize me in Jesus' name, because those words, he said, have sunk deep in my heart. And he said, I've taken your tape and I've played it over the country. And he said, I played it to friends. But you know, just looking at that man in the crowd, it would have looked like such a large city.
Amen.
Such a high mountain to climb. A man with a briefcase and a suit. The executive looking kind. The kind you think you could never bring down. But all we need to do is just go out and take the country.
Hallelujah.
We're well able to take the country. Hallelujah. Would you praise the Lord with me again? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise God.
I'm going to be closing in a moment. But tonight, if I could just cause somebody here to be reminded, somebody that's going through a trial and you don't see how in the world this can end up being for the glory of God, and you don't see how it's going to come out, and you don't see how it can come out. If I could cause your thinking to turn around and cause you to start believing again that God's able to see you through.
Amen.
God's able to take you through. The promises of God are yours.
Hallelujah.
The victory is yours. Many of you remember me as a small boy. I had a crippled foot. I had been running from my mother, who was after me scolding me for something I did at the age of two. I didn't remember, somewhere back there. But I ran out of the house and I fell and I broke my leg. And I do remember having the broken leg. But they put a cast on my leg and they didn't set it right. And many of you remember, I grew up and all through my teenage years, my left foot was sticking out to the left. I walked with my left foot and I had a limp. Those of you that knew me when I was a child knew that's the way I walked. I would try to walk with my foot straight and it would hurt me. And a nerve was pinched in my foot. And when I would try to play ball with the children at school, I would hurt my foot. And many times I'd be sitting somewhere out behind a shade tree on the school ground holding my foot and aching and hurting. And I felt so sorry for myself. Because I couldn't run like the other children. I couldn't be like them. And I had a real pity party one day. And I went to my dad and I sat down on the edge of the bed with him. I said, "Daddy, I can't do anything." And I broke down and cried. And I started saying, "I can't do anything." I was talking to my pastor, telling him, "I can't do anything." I was talking to the man of God who was watching for my soul, saying, "I can't run like the other kids. And I get left out of everything because my foot hurts me all the time. I just can't do anything." And this man of God, when I was just a tender young boy, told me that there are some things I could do. He said, "If I were you," I'll never forget it. It's just like it happened yesterday. But there are some things that stand out in our memories. Because I was desperately seeking for an answer. He said, "If I were you, every time there's an opportunity to be prayed for, I would get prayed for." Amen. And he said, "If there's a prayer line, I'd be in that prayer line. Every time." He said, "Every time they want to anoint the oil, anoint with oil and pray for the sick, you should be anointed." He said, "If I were you, that's what I would do." Amen. And he said, "And while you're waiting on God to take care of your foot, why don't you apply yourself in a direction and do something that you are able to do?" Amen. And he mentioned to me that maybe I should take more time to study music. And he mentioned to me that if I would cultivate that interest that I had in music, that some things could come as a result of that. And that actually this hurt foot that I had could be a blessing to me because of the things it would keep me from, and other doors would be able to open to me as a result of things I was interested in.
Hallelujah.
I listened carefully to him. And I attribute a lot of the musical ability I have today. People back then who looked at me when I said, "I want to learn how to play a trumpet," they said, "You can't." But I did. As a result of that conversation, I sat around and I played on other instruments and they said, "You can't," but I did. I sat in study hall writing music for the school band and they said, "You can't," but I did, and the band played my music.
Amen.
I went to college and I, as a freshman, I wrote a march for the college band. They said, "You can't." But not only did I was able to play everything that I wrote on every instrument in that band. And they said I couldn't.
Amen.
But I did.
Amen.
I went from there to a place where I was working in a factory. And it was a strenuous job and it was hurting my foot. And somebody needed somebody to teach guitar lessons. And I went to a place and I didn't play the guitar that well. And they said, "You can't." But I did. And all during those years, I was going through the prayer lines.
Hallelujah.
With my crippled foot. When they would open up for prayer and say, "Does anybody want to be prayed for?" I'd limp up to the pulpit. I saw some of you sometimes with that sorrowful look in your eyes. I wish Wren could walk like other children. But all during those years, God was preparing me for something that He knew if I was able to run like other children,
There would be some things I would get into that would cause me not to be able to be effective in the kingdom of God and be used in the way He wanted to use me.
Amen.
Some of those friends I ran with are dead today.
Right.
Some of them ran out in front of a car and got killed.
Right.
Some of them went to Vietnam and were killed. Some of them are in prison because of the people they ran with. And I tried to run with them, but I couldn't keep up. Instead, I was applying myself in things that I could do and becoming serious about things that meant something that could be a help to my future.
Amen.
And I was believing.
Hallelujah.
I was believing one of these days I'm going to walk away from one of these prayer lines. Well, it happened in a way that I wasn't really expecting. We were up in St. Louis, and we had a get-together for the young people, and I fell and I broke my leg. By this time, I'd already gotten past the possibility of going off to war in Vietnam. By this time, I'd already gotten past being accepted on a football team where they would have torn me all to pieces. By this time, I'd already passed running with the gangs that would have taken me into a life of sin. And God was ready to straighten my foot out. And I remember, as I came to after having surgery, I looked down and for the first time since I was 2 years old, I had 2 feet sticking straight up and both of my knees in the same direction. And I looked up at the doctor and I was a little bit dizzy because I hadn't quite overcome the medication. And I said, both of my feet are sticking up straight. And he smiled and they were rolling me through the hall. He said, I know. He said, we have corrected it. I said, you what? He said, that crippled foot you had, you broke it exactly the way that it would have had to have been broken if you'd come into the hospital and had it corrected.
Hallelujah.
I don't know why God chose to do it that way, but I'm still glad He did it.
Amen. That's right.
Because after that, I was able to walk straight.
Hallelujah.
After that, I was able to apply myself into areas of wisdom. Having had in my background the good things that I needed for the future, it was a few years after that I was on my knees over there at 6 in Dakota at 5 o'clock in the morning crying my heart out to God saying, God, take my talent, take my hands, take my abilities in music, take everything I've got. I just want to live for You with all my heart.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
It was after that, after all these things that could have happened to me, during the days that people kept saying, you can't, you can't, you can't. As a result of the man of God saying, you can do it. Just don't give up.
Hallelujah.
That God restored my foot.
Hallelujah.
And today I'm walking with God with 2 feet that are straight.
Hallelujah.
Saying to you, we can do all things through Christ.
Right.
Who strengthens us. Let us stand together.
Praise.
Praise God. There's not a mountain too high. There's not a battle too hard. There's not a sickness that's too difficult.
On a hill.
Praise.
Far away.
Hallelujah.
Stood an old rugged cross.
The
emblem of suffering and shame.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
And I love that old cross where the dear is endless for a world of lost sinners were slain.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
So I'll cherish the old
God. If there's a person in the house that has failed God, there's a liar and a deceiver that will say, you can't serve Him now. You can't make it.
That
but this song is reminding us of a Calvary where blood was shed so that you can make it.
I will cling.
There's a person here
to the
problem with some sickness or pain, and
And your mind has been saying you can't overcome. You cannot overcome. Gird up the loins of your mind and remember. The song we're singing is reminding us of the promise of God. Through Calvary, by His stripes you were healed.